we will get to our class, which most of you that were here last week know that we are going through a two-week process of working through how to set goals and how to use our time more wisely. It's a scriptural premise and teaching that we are to do so. And so, we discussed a lot of things last week, so we'll just do a quick review here. And I wanted to start off by adding a couple of things that I don't think we covered. It's very important when we're setting goals and working through that process. One very important aspect of that I didn't go back and listen to the tape, but that I failed to mention is accountability. It's important that we share our goals with other people, right? If you're the only one that knows about the goal, are you going to be real push and motivated to make the goal? You might be, sure, if you're a motivated individual and full of self-control and discipline. But it helps to if someone else knows it. Your best friend or a mom or a dad or a spouse keeps you honest, right? That's a pretty important aspect of a goal. If you don't tell anybody, are you real serious about the goal? Probably not. We talked about the fear of failing. That's real, isn't it? But thankfully for the grace of God, that grace is supposed to take a little bit of that fear away. If we can't be honest with ourselves and honest with our God, what's the point, right? So sometimes that fear can keep that from happening, and we don't want to do that. We need to push on and persevere. So another addition that I brought it up briefly, but I'd like to really emphasize that now is our purpose. We don't have a driving purpose for setting goals, we're not going to be successful with it. We really have to want to better ourselves, better our situation, and better our efforts. If that is not what's driving us, we're not going to follow through. So that purpose is that motivation is really the fuel that will get our vehicle to the finish line.
That's a great point. You know, are you going to have any goals if you don't have a purpose? I mean, you can't, because, you know, the two kind of go hand in hand. And if you're not, if you're serious about your purpose, you'll make goals, you know, kind of like you said, those are the small steps. So I mean, yeah, you know, Jay said really well, purpose is power in living, and it truly does.
Yeah. Definitely.
And remember, you got to make your goals reasonable, yeah. You know, within reach, something that you can actually achieve.
Yep, we'll cover a few of those points. What we talked about is being realistic. We have to have an accounting of where we're at. If we set a goal that's way beyond our capabilities, are we going to strive for that? Probably not. So we need to have bite-sized goals, is what we talked about. Yeah, especially starting off, especially as new Christians, making this effort to make the most of our time. Start off easy. Start off with bite-sized goals, something that we can establish a line of successes to build on. And then once we have that momentum going, we can build on that. We can tweak and we can do different things to fine-tune that. But that process needs to start small. And as Dave said, they need to be realistic. And so and that motivation is the key, though. Unless a Christian develops that ultimate purpose in life of being a disciple of Christ as a powerful and permanent foundation for the motivation during his entire earthly sojourn, he will not take the disciplined steps necessary to become a good planner and a good executor. We might make the effort initially, but long term, you're not going to have that staying power. the purpose is the fuel in the tank. So that's, I wanted to emphasize that as we start off here. We also examined the importance of goals being defined and specific so as to be able to measure the progress. Remember what we talked about, what gets measured improves. If there's no way to measure your progress, then it's not going to improve, more than likely. So a goal has to be specific and measurable. And it needs to start with a set of two things, a start date and a finish date. If without that, it's open-ended. Without that, it's really, as we talked about, it is just a good intention. I'd like to do this. I'd like to be better at this. Without the specific definition and without a start and end date, it's not a goal. It's a good intention. And that's great, but call it what it is, right? So, in connection with goals, we considered the fact that there's the necessity of breaking a goal down into specific activities. It could also be said as short-term goals. It could be one and the same. An activity for your long-term goal could be a short-term goal, a daily goal, some others would call it. These activities is what gets us to the finish line. And they're very important. Arranging those activities is also important. In order to maximize our effectiveness, we need to arrange those activities so that they will build upon one another. It's the little things we do every day that get us to where we want to be, right? And so those adding up will get us to that. The other option is just the shotgun approach. Does that work well for people? Not really. Maybe in short bursts. Pun intended. We need to have structure and organization to our goal setting efforts. And so, having begun with the general principles of goal setting, we need to discuss the specifics of making it all work. And that's where we'll start today. Specifically with activities. And then with activities, we need to have a plan called daily lists and prioritizing our activities. So let's talk about the thing that gets us to our goals a little bit more, and that's those activities, those short-term goals, those daily goals. Activities, I think we briefly hit upon it last week, are a series of actions carried out to achieve a goal. And it may be days worth, it could be weeks worth, it could be even over an entire month. But they are designed to build upon each other. They're designed and organized in such a way that will bolster our efforts. And as mentioned, a simple goal and an activity can be the same thing, and often are. But more complex goals, as we talked about, requires a series of carefully planned activities and careful organization of those activities. Most people are busy with activities going here and there, doing this and that. But the secret of making the most of our time in accordance with the biblical command is to make those activities line up and build upon one another. This is a very important aspect of goal setting. And this, if I'm just going to be honest, this is a place where I struggle a lot. I tend to be more that shotgun approach, a bull in a china closet type. Just, I know what the goal is, let's just run for it. And that's a great attitude, I guess, to have that zeal to get your goals accomplished and to start the work. But as we mentioned last week also, it's important to work smarter, not harder. A few moments of planning will bolster and really improve our efficiency a lot. Because, here's an example. I've been on job sites, like out of town, right? And knowing that I need to get started on this job, I rush out to the job site and I start working, and then I realize I don't have this specific tool that I need for this very specific purpose. Anyone done that? Yeah. Uh-oh. Now I gotta drive back the 50 miles I just drove, get the tool, and get back here as soon as I can to do this one little 5-minute job. It's taking 3 hours. That's a really good example of not planning ahead and just rushing in. Okay? We need to have a plan of action before we start out on that. It requires a lot of planning. The more complex the goal is, the more planning it requires, and the more diligence that it's going to require. So that's an important aspect. When it comes time to start planning, we really need to consider carefully certain things about these activities in order to fit them in their proper places. Consider some things. How difficult is this activity going to be? Does the weather conditions come into play? Can it be done at all at this time? Maybe I need to postpone this till another day, until the weather is more favorable. How much time is it going to consume? How many people will need to be involved? Are there scheduling conflicts or possible conflicts that we can avoid by planning ahead? These are all things to consider. We're not going to consider these things if we just bolt out there and start the work before any planning is done. Who may be in possession of a certain skill set that's going to be needed? All these things to consider. When considering a more complicated goal, because the number of potential details to be considered can be easily myriads and myriads of details. The more complex, the more details. So it's worth repeating. Plan your day. Plan these activities. It's great to have these activities. As I mentioned last week, it's better than not having any activities, right? But we want to have a plan. We need to have a plan. Those who fail to plan to fail. And that's very true. The other is, if we continue to think like we've always thought, we'll continue to get what we've always got. So we need to consider these things and operate a little differently.
One thing to remember, too, when you're making your plans, you got to be prepared for things that are not foreseen. Things can change in the middle of whatever you're doing. You got to be prepared to make that change on the run.
Yeah, you're ahead of the teacher, but thank you for your comment.
One of the motivational speakers that I had listened to was Zig Ziglar, and he gave a very good visual. It was called progression caterpillars. I don't know if you ever heard about them. You line them up, and they'll follow each other. Well, if you put them on a pot that's wide enough for them to walk around, they'll walk in circle and a circle and a circle and a circle, even though there's good caterpillar food in the middle. So the moral of the story was being able to identify productivity from activity. And one of the things in my life, you know, like the shotgun, I'm kind of scattered sometimes. I would write my goal list, and the most repulsive goal that I didn't want to do almost got me to do the other things on my list. Yeah. So prioritizing is a part of that activity, I think, yeah, like you're saying.
Yep, definitely. And we're going to cover that as well. So, yeah. It's important to have a plan. Without this, it's not a goal. It's good intentions. We need to be diligent and focused in this process. Otherwise, if we don't do these things and take these required steps, we're going to fail, and then we're going to just give up. Nobody likes to bonk their head against the wall over and over again. I do that a lot. I need to just take a step back and think about what I'm doing, okay? It's an important and integral step of goal setting. So, okay, so what are some of the difficulties to consider ahead of time? Personal growth is involved in becoming a partaker of the divine nature, like overcoming sin, the laying aside of hindrances of poor time usage, habits, and the formation of good ones is often accompanied by frustrations. That's what we were just saying. Learning to plan is like learning to walk. You just have to stay with it until you get it. And there's going to be some scraped elbows and scuffed chins probably. But we just have to, we have to continue. We have to persevere. We have to keep going. Remember the scripture that we read, be careful how you walk, making the most of your time. Now, generally speaking, successful planners are developed through trial and error. I think there's some frustration in that process. Yeah. But you know what the difference is? They keep going. They don't give up. Those who have succeeded have simply been willing to maintain good attitudes through many failures and to keep trying. That's the difference. Now, developing the habits of goal setting and accomplishing the planned activities are part of sowing to the Spirit rather than to the flesh. A Christian can lose heart in doing good if he fails to keep in mind that he is making a spiritual investment. That's what this is. We're trying to be warriors for Christ. In that process, job, if you will, in that command that we have to go, it can be frustrating. We have to remember why we're doing it. Okay, that purpose. So, developing the good habits is the challenge. And remember, it's all sowing and reaping, there's a time delay, isn't there? Between the planting and the harvesting. We have to be patient. This is a challenge for me, I'm just going to be honest. I have a tough time with this. But because God wants all of His children to acquire His time management character, He guarantees there is a harvest. There is a harvest for the Christian who sows to the Spirit in this way. The saint of God must remember that the Lord of the harvest ensures that the rewards of becoming a good planner and a good executor are well worth the effort. It'll pay off. But we can't bail. We can't bail. We gotta stay in the game. So, and I am jumping around all over the place here, so bear with me. Okay. So, moving forward then. It's often said that there are two groups in the church. They're essentially the doers and the dreamers, it's said occasionally. Others would say that there are pillars and caterpillars. That's Jay's, not mine. The pillars hold the church together, and the caterpillars crawl in and out every Lord's Day. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Another way of stating this point, with a slightly different emphasis, is that there are those who make things happen and those who make excuses. Those who make things happen don't make excuses, and those who make excuses don't make things happen. It's just that simple. It's brutally honest. Sorry. Are we making excuses? I do a lot. I'm just going to be honest. I have to overcome a lot. It all comes back to this trustworthy statement from James that we talked about last week. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Can goal setting involve being deluded occasionally? Yeah. We need to be honest with where we're at. As we talked about last week, we have to have an accurate accounting. Where am I in this? How am I doing? If we don't have an actual real proper accounting of that, our goal setting is going to be way out of whack. And it's not going to be based on goals that can be achieved, because we don't have the right measurement of our abilities and our progress.
I'm a goal setter, and so something just crossed my mind. I'm curious your feedback and anybody else who wants to chime in, because I found myself falling into this pattern where I set goals, and all of a sudden I've set so many goals that I've bound myself under law. And that's not a good, happy place to be as well. And I now at least I can realize that. So where's the happy medium between setting goals and putting yourself under law?
Yeah, that's a fine line. We have to remember, you know, why are we doing this? And the important thing is too, as we're going along, it's important to be able to adjust, right? If something's not working, and if we feel like, man, this is looking like I'm more under the law than under the spirit of liberty, we need to maybe reevaluate. That's an important part of goal setting, is in that accounting, is reevaluating occasionally. Why am I doing this? What am I getting off here? Why am I getting away from why I'm doing this in this process? Maybe I need to rethink how I'm doing things. Does anyone else have a input?
Recently for my job, I went through some training, and it was the 7 Habits of Successful People. And one of the things they talk about is, in that goal setting, you make sure you set time to allow for those other interruptions and things like that, because there's a part where you can be really rigid in that and completely miss some of the bigger picture stuff. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about. And I also faced a little bit of that challenge. It was very interesting for me to hear that, to open up those spaces to allow it. That's the buzzword was space, but it's kind of what you're talking about there. And it is a challenge, because when you're focused and driven like that, you can really block out other things that are important. So being aware like that is really important.
Yeah, we have to set aside time for difficulties.
In answer to Larry's question, I think it's, I want to. Do I want to do this? Do I really want to do this? If I'm doing my repetitions and I'm looking myself in the mirror, if I want to do it, I'll keep doing it until it becomes permanent, or I'm going to quit. I mean, that's been my experience.
Yep. Getting back to our purpose. Was that it?
Yes.
Getting back to our purpose and keeping that at the forefront of our minds. I'll get to you, Raj.
And again, it goes back to the comment I made earlier. You know, you got to allow time for things to pop up that is not planned for. Say you're driving down the road and you're running a tight schedule. You got to plan for that time in case you get a flat tire.
Right.
You got to have that amount of time for, you got to have that little bit of cushion in between there. And if for some reason that cushion isn't used up for something unforeseen, that gives you a little more time to enjoy what you're actually doing and prioritizing what you are doing.
Yeah, if you're constantly rushing and putting out fires and reacting instead of working the plan, it's going to get frustrating as well, yeah.
The whole reason, I think, for us at least, to set goals is to glorify God and to serve His purpose. So the Scripture defines what we're addressing here, and it says that a man plans his ways, but God directs his steps. So in some of that adjusting, that's God directing your steps.
Yeah, that's a good point. We need to have a plan, but God's going to guide us in the things that we encounter, definitely. So, I don't even know where I was. We need to be doers, and not be deluded, and in having a proper accounting. So this is, I really like this, how it is parallel, if you will, to our Wednesday night studies in the book of John. Of recent weeks, we've talked a lot about the necessity of the biblical Christian having spiritual fruit, producing fruit. The purpose of the vine, the grapevine, is to produce what? Grapes. So without that, one cannot be a disciple of Christ, is what we talked about in our group studies. Without spiritual fruit, you can't be a disciple of Christ. That's what we covered last week. It's interesting as this communicates the necessity for action, doesn't it? We have to act. If we don't, we're not getting anywhere, and also we're going to be deluded. We're going to try to make exception. We're going to try to justify with where we're really at. And there's the delusion. So similar to that discussion, our discussion today about goal setting, to our Wednesday night study, because as we discussed, half of the effectiveness of goal setting is that it promotes action. You can have a lot of great intentions. That may or may not transfer to actual action. Goal setting tends to promote that. Actions that otherwise would not have occurred. So that's important. So in the time that I have left, I don't think I'm going to get through all of my notes, but we'll make a valiant effort. And so starting in today's discussion that I wanted to get to is daily lists and prioritizing. I know most of you are going, oh, great. He just said lists. Yeah, I did. I don't like them either. I'll just be honest. I hate lists. I did that a lot when I was in sales management. We had to get a certain amount of work done in a day and achieve certain things, and it's vital. I'm not going to stand here and say that I was successful at it and that I enjoyed it, because I didn't and I wasn't. But it is a necessity. And as we talked about last week, you might be sitting there in a chair thinking that I am not a list person. I never have been. I wasn't raised that way. I'm not wired that way. I agree with you. I'm not that way either. I have to work at it. It takes a lot of effort. But if we are disciples of Christ, if we have the indwelling Spirit of God, of all the people that can change, isn't it us? With the Spirit of Christ, aren't we capable of all things through Him who strengthens me? Come on. Are we excuse makers or are we doers? I know, it's hard. I'm with you. And it's frustrating. And you don't like when people say words like lists. I'm with you. But this is the hard part. The application. Do you want to be a goal setter? Do you want to be more efficient with your time? Do you want to be more organized? These are questions that we talked about last week. If so, this is where the rubber meets the road. The lists and the prioritizing of those lists. It's important. Okay? So, the doers work from lists. Those that do, those that accomplish their goals, they work from lists. Now, some work from mental lists. Some. Most work from written lists. I find myself wanting to work from a mental list. I'm not that smart. I'm very forgetful. Okay? We need to have written lists. I encourage you, write these things down. The dreamers, those who merely hear the word, just sort of do what comes to their minds. Does it sound familiar? It does to me. And what they feel like doing at the moment. It's kind of what Mark mentioned earlier. Dreamers survive. Doers redeem the time. So now, again, to review, there are some of us sitting here today just thinking, I can't do that. And we have to remember the power that we've been given, the capabilities that we have having the Spirit of Christ.
A good example I want to use on that is like my daily Bible reading. You know, I've got a list. It's recorded. It's on YouVersion. And it gives me a list that I can follow. It also records what I have done. Yeah. And, you know, it helps me keep my mind focused on where I need to be.
Right. Yeah, that's a great example.
The one thing about a dreamer is they'll allow the flesh to overtake them. Mm-hmm. Procrastination's an easy thing to fall into. I do it myself, unfortunately, quite handily, if I allow myself the opportunity. There's a reason why Scripture tells the Christian to buffet our bodies. We have to make it our slave. There's no way around it. In goal setting, if you do not have the determination and the focus to fulfill what you set out to do, you're trying to box the wind. It's ineffective.
Yeah. Yep, that's another good reminder. It's like the weather vane on top of a building. It's very busy, but it's not going anywhere, right? So, don't be a dreamer. Let's be doers. We have the Spirit of Christ. Let's use it for the purpose that we've been given. So these daily lists, this is interesting. In this day and age, we have no excuse, okay? The more advanced a society is, the more options the Christian has in terms of planning activities, in terms of daily lists. In times past, a preacher could go out, he could only travel by boat, horse, or his own feet. And the distance between places was comparatively limited because of that. But with modern times, in modern day, which is what we're in, the day of planes, trains, and automobiles, the options increase greatly. And the excuses dwindle greatly. And then there's the internet. Wow. There's really no excuse now. Audio and video streaming, Skype, Adobe NetMeeting and others. It's almost limitless. It's a basic principle. The more potential there is for good, the more potential likewise for evil. With all those options, the more potential there is for wasting time in being entertained. There's also tremendous potential for multiplying effort and being able to reach the entire world, literally. This planning process requires thinking through various possibilities, and the decision point comes when it is time to record specific activities on a daily list. And those who use daily lists have some distinct advantages over those who operate by the seat of their pants. Or by a mental list. You know what mental lists are to me? It's just like an easy way out. Oh man, I forgot that. When you write it down, there's no excuse for forgetting, is there? So what are these advantages? Daily lists preset the mind. Someone who does not use daily lists has a tendency to be lackadaisical about the projects to be done. He tends to do them as he gets around to them. That doesn't work out real well. It never has for me anyway. But when a disciple of Christ takes the time to work through this planning process, as he writes his daily goals on his list, a certain determination kicks in, doesn't it? Uh-oh, now there's a list. Especially for us guys that are like conquerors. I got to conquer this list. that really produces that action as we were discussing. As this guy mentally works through his list of the things to do, his determination starts to rise because there's a list, right? His efforts, his blood pressure probably starts to increase just because of a list. A person who shows up on a job mentally organized and ready to work is so much more efficient than somebody who starts to begin to wake up as they pull into the parking lot. Similarly then, the Christian who has written down and gone over his daily list before the day begins has set his mind for performance and efficiency. It works if we work it. Daily lists are visual reminders, if they're written. I know what happens with me is I get so focused on a project and the completion of the project that I lose my bearings and sometimes get the order of tasks all fouled up, as I mentioned earlier, and I have to go back and backtrack a few steps. Without a written list, you tend to lose valuable time in trying to remember what's next. Or worse yet, forgetting to carry out an important task altogether, as I mentioned. Or we just do the first thing that we think of. I just got to get to work. With the daily list, they have visible reminders to keep us on track, moving forward in the right direction, especially on high priority items, as Mark mentioned. And therefore, our productivity goes up. That's an advantage. Finishing the list becomes a goal. Who's been in that? I got to get this list done today. I can't leave anything off of it. When a person has trained himself to set goals and meet deadlines, they often experience an extra surge of productivity when they have the potential of marking everything off their to-do list. Over a year's time, those little surges of extra productivity, they add up. They really do. They add up to a lot. A lot of things that we wouldn't have gotten done otherwise. Okay. A visible list allows for more creativity and more flexibility in prioritizing. Think about that one. Creativity is very hard to pin down and identify because it primarily works with new and unexpected arrangements of ideas and practices. But creativity is a major factor in boosting performance. What can I expect when I'm headed out on this activity? Think about some things. Maybe if I can get a little creative, I can avoid some of those things. Work harder, work smarter, not harder. So having details written down on a list frees the mind for from the load of carrying those details and thinking about them, and it opens up the hard drive space, if you will, for creativity. We don't have to worry about it. I got it written down. I got a note on that. You ever do that? You know, it's like it just frees up your mind a little bit to be more creative. I don't have to continue to think about this because I have it written down. Oh, I got to write that down. Hey, that's what we're talking about. Part of creativity is prioritizing activities. Part of creativity is prioritizing activities. Wow, that rhymes. So that the first things are done first and the second things are done second. We have to have that list, and then it has to be prioritized, doesn't it? And there's a lot to consider in that prioritizing process. The list also helps us in making sure that certain normal low-priority items are handled before they cause major problems. I'll give you an example. Filling the gas tank with gas. Normally doesn't seem like a real high-priority item, does it? But if you're at the end of your day and the heightened craziness of the day, and you got to stop for gas when you could have done it earlier, that's an example of doing a low priority item when it needs to be done, rather than responding to a crisis. A little creativity and prioritization often prevent emergencies and make the day go more smoothly and more efficiently. If you're running out to a job site that's 50 miles out of town in the crazy part of your afternoon, and you have to stop for gas that you could have gotten first thing in the morning, that's not very efficient, is it? So prioritizing is really important to our lists. The use of daily lists, it helps free the user from being crisis-directed. That was a good example. If we have a prioritized list, then I'm not going to have that crisis later in the day. Many Christians, particularly those in management position, have noted that during the day they simply move from crisis to crisis. Never done that? If I had just planned a little bit better, I could have avoided that crisis. Because of that, many are controlled by their circumstances rather than controlling their time, as I've done poorly today. We are out of time, and I still have several pages of notes. So it's important to prioritize. In simple terms, the usage of daily lists is the difference between getting things done in an efficient manner and having the most things that should have been done just disappear with the day unaccomplished. The basic scriptural principle is to live one day at a time, and for each saint of God to make sure that he maximizes his efforts that day. If he works, let him work. If he can have a day of rest, let him rest. But by taking care of each day's activities, tomorrow is prepared for in the best possible way. If you didn't do today's activities and they didn't get accomplished like they should have been, where are they going to go? To the next day. They're added to the list for tomorrow. So in other words, therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own, in Matthew chapter 6. So we didn't cover on how to make daily lists. Just to cut this down, one very important aspect of daily lists is do them daily. Seriously. A list does no good if you don't do them daily. You can't do them once a month. Do them daily. That's why they're called daily lists. And then in prioritizing that list. It's important also, as we're working through this process, to have this a place for notes in the same place as the list. What gets measured and improved, right? So if you're going through your list in one day and you think, oh, that didn't work, make a note of it. But keep that note with your list. That's vital. You're just going to have to waste more time later trying to find those notes. Keep them with the list. That's important. Have a special place set aside for working over the daily list and preparing it and prioritizing it. Have a set place for that. And also have a set time for that. Work on the daily lists the same time every day. They recommend, some people, late night organization tends to prepare the mind for tasks for the next morning. It could also keep you up, just saying. Early morning checking the list gives opportunity for rearranging items based on late breaking information or late breaking developments, as Dave mentioned. And for preparing the mind to keep track of all those little details that are going to be involved in the day's work. Okay? Take some time to organize in the morning, in the evening, and in the morning. Have some way of writing down notes and reminders so that they show up at the right time of the activity. I don't know how you do this without a planner. But whatever, here's the last thing I'm going to encourage you with. Whatever, there's a lot of different processes for this goal setting and activities lists and organization and planning and all this. Find what works for you and work it. Personalities, we're all different. The same, what works for me isn't going to work for you. And vice versa. Find out what works for you and work it. Things that, and start off simple, like I said, you can tweak and add to this process as you go. But here's the important key. Start. Try it. I want to memorize Romans chapter 1 this week, this month, wherever you're at. Start somewhere. Start somewhere and start simple. I would encourage you in this process to use a planner. It works for me. You can. There's different processes on how to use that planner, but you got to have something to keep your thoughts and your notes recorded. So I cut a lot of it out of here. If there any of you have questions or need some advice or whatever, just come see me. There's many guys here, many people that are great goal setters, and a lot of people we can go to for that help. So thank you for your attention.